Wenn Sie ein SaaS-Unternehmen aufbauen, kann die Erreichung von ISO oder SOC 2-Konformität und weiteren Sicherheitsstandards erheblichen Wachstum für Ihr Unternehmen ermöglichen, sowie das Vertrauen der Kunden stärken. Der Prozess dahin ist allerdings oft zeitaufwendig und kostspielig. Wanta automatisiert die damit verbundene Arbeit, hilft Ihnen dabei, schnell auditbereit zu sein und spart Ihnen 85% der damit verbundenen Kosten. Wanta wächst mit Ihrem Unternehmen, hilft Ihnen dabei, Ihre Compliance kontinuierlich zu überwachen, vereinheitlicht Ihr Risikomanagement und vereinfacht Security Reviews. Schließen Sie sich 7000 globalen Unternehmen wie Atlassian, Flowhealth und Quora an, die Wanta nutzen, um Vertrauen aufzubauen und Sicherheit in Echtzeit nachzuweisen. Laden Sie sich die kostenlose ISO-Compliance-Checkliste auf wanta.com/audio herunter, um mehr zu erfahren. vanta.com/audio für Ihre kostenlose Compliance-Checkliste.
The details of this case are very difficult to hear. Extreme child abuse and child murder are involved. This one won't be for everybody. There are far more audio clips than narration in this episode. It is a one-off and won't be a regular thing in the future. The courtroom confession is detailed and horrific. Listener discretion is advised.
Calling case number 15-56881, the people of the state of Michigan versus Michelle Angela Blair. Ms. Blair is charged in this case, count one, child abuse, first degree. Felony, life or any term of years. Count two, child abuse, first degree. Felony, life or any term of years. Count three, child abuse, first degree. Felony, life or any term of years. Count four, child abuse, first degree, life or any term of years. Count five, child abuse, first degree, committed in the presence of another child. Felony, life or any term of years. State your name, please.
Sharon.
Thank you.
This story takes place in Detroit, Michigan, at Martin Luther King Homes, a low-income public housing complex containing 312 units, located on St. Albans Street. At 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of March, 2015, an eviction crew from the Wayne County Sheriff's Office attended Unit 804 in the Martin Luther King complex. The bailiffs were there to evict the tenant, Michelle Blair, who lived there with her four children, her two daughters, aged 17 and 13, and her two sons, aged 9 and 8. Michelle was described as a nice, friendly person. Her kids were described as polite and respectful. Sometime around 2012, Michelle had pulled all four of her kids out of school, opting to homeschool them instead. It was around 2014 when neighbours started to notice that they hadn't seen Michelle's 13-year-old daughter, Stoney Blair, or her 9-year-old son, Stephen Berry, for a while. Michelle explained that they had been spending a lot of time with an auntie and that when they were back at home, they didn't really like going out and being around people. They preferred to stay inside. Michelle had been living at a unit for the last 10 years. She was unemployed, receiving a government benefit. She had money issues and she hadn't paid her rent. That's why she was being evicted. She owed $2,206. Michelle knew she was getting evicted. She had been served the notice and had seen the dumpsters delivered out the front, where the eviction crew planned to throw all of her stuff. Michelle didn't really want to be there when the eviction crew arrived, so she arranged to stay with a friend who also lived in the same housing complex. She took her eldest daughter and her youngest son with her to her friend's house, explaining that her other two children were with their aunt. The eviction crew arrived and knocked on Michelle's door. They got no answer. So they forced entry and started the eviction process. They were met with a disgraceful mess of a unit, with rubbish and food scraps all over the floor, items of clothing and other junk thrown around everywhere. The conditions were described as barely livable. The eviction crew got to work clearing out the furniture of the house, and they came across a chest freezer. They opened it up to see what was inside.
11:30, 7th Precinct, received a call. Officers assigned to 7th Precinct, received a call from the bailiff, who was in this complex of Martin Luther King homes, conducting an eviction. And it was during that eviction process that they discovered two young children in a freezer. Further investigation revealed that it appeared to be two, a male who we're saying is approximately 11 years old and a female 14 years old, inside of a plastic bag, appeared to be frozen.
The eviction crew opened the chest freezer and located the frozen body of Michelle's 13-year-old daughter, Stoney Blair. That's when they called 911. It wasn't until shortly after that they realised there was a second body underneath, Michelle's 9-year-old son, Stephen Berry. Michelle Blair was also known by her nickname Angel, described as a nice, friendly person by her neighbours. Her Facebook profile read, "Loyal to my babies," and "There is no greater blessing than being called a mum." Michelle Blair had some serious questions to answer, and it didn't take long for police to catch up with her.
We were fortunate yesterday that a member of our community stopped our investigators and led us to the location where we found and arrested the mother of the two children found dead in her apartment. Our homicide team continues to work diligently to bring some closure to both family and their friends. The medical examiner will be performing autopsies in the next day, and at that time, we will know the cause of death of these two children. As you can imagine, this is a very complex case. While we all understand your desire and the desire to know more about what happened in the home, I will ask you to be mindful of the two children who are also in the home that are still alive.
Her two surviving children were taken into protective custody while police got to work trying to find out what happened. A background check showed that between the years 2002 and 2005, Michelle Blair had been investigated on two separate occasions for allegations of child abuse. The abuse claims were substantiated. Her punishment was counselling. She was allowed to keep custody of her children. As part of the investigation, Michelle's surviving children were interviewed. What they detailed was a real-life house of horrors. Both of them were physically beaten by Michelle. They were regularly whipped with an extension cord and hit with a piece of wood. Both had also been burnt with an iron. At the time they were taken by child services, both kids had numerous scars and injuries. Her son had 25 different scars on his back alone. There was clear medical evidence to back up their story that they were the victims of prolonged physical abuse from their mother. Michelle was initially only charged with child abuse. This was because the police had to wait for the results of the autopsy to determine exactly how the children died. And the autopsy was delayed as they had to allow the bodies to thaw out before it could be conducted. Michelle was arraigned 2 days later, Thursday the 26th of March. She was charged with 4 counts of first-degree child abuse, which is punishable by 15 years in prison. She was also charged with 1 count of committing child abuse in the first degree in the presence of another child. That carries a life sentence. Her bond was set at $1 million. Within a week, the autopsies had been completed. The conclusion? There was no doubt. Stoney Blair and Stephen Berry had been murdered. Michelle's charges were upgraded to 2 counts of felony murder, 2 counts of premeditated murder, and 1 count of torture. Stephen Berry was killed around the 30th of August 2012. Stoney Blair was killed about 9 months later, in May 2013. Both had been left in the freezer until the eviction crew found them in March 2015. How didn't anybody notice Stoney and Stephen missing? Well, some neighbours did notice that they hadn't seen them for a while, but when they asked the question, they believed Michelle's story, that they spent a lot of time with an aunt, and when they were home, they didn't like to go outside. No alarm bells were raised at school because they didn't go there in the first place. Their fathers hadn't seen them for several years, so they didn't notice either. Sadly, Stoney and Stephen were able to go missing for 2 years, and nobody did anything other than ask a passing question as to where they were. Nobody asked any real questions or looked closely at all. It took an eviction crew to find them in the freezer before anybody realised they were really gone. And the whole time her kids were in the freezer, Michelle continued to accept government benefits for them. Michelle was subjected to numerous evaluations by doctors and psychiatrists to make sure she was competent to stand trial and that she could be held criminally responsible for her actions. But Michelle didn't want to wait for those reports. She just wanted to plead guilty. She tried numerous times to plead guilty and have the matter finalised, but the court wouldn't allow it straight away. The court needed to make sure everything was done properly. They had possible future appeals in mind. They wouldn't accept the plea until all doctors' evaluations were officially on record.
It's my understanding to get a trial is to get to the truth, right? I'm already saying that I did it. I'm freely giving myself and accepting life in prison. If I'm already giving myself to you, like, hey, I did this, what's the problem? And I'm not gonna come back like, oh, I didn't understand my rights. I'm not a coward. You get what I'm saying?
I don't have that second report from Dr. Shiner yet, okay?
The forensics one is not good enough?
No, that's why we requested an independent too, okay? Now, my understanding is that his evaluation is complete, but we just don't have it yet. These are some very serious charges and very...
And I understand all of them. If y'all...
Give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity.
I've confessed 3 times. I'm not going to stop saying what I did. You get what I'm saying?
I understand. These are very serious charges with very serious consequences. If you were to plead guilty to a first-degree murder charge, that is life in prison without the possibility of parole.
I know this. I'm happily saying life in prison. If you had death penalty, I would take that. I don't care. That's my baby. Period. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not changing anything. I don't need the week to think about it.
When all doctors' reports were eventually placed onto the record, the court made a ruling that Michelle was competent to stand trial and she could be held criminally responsible for her actions. As such, if she now wanted to plead guilty, the court would accept it. Michelle wasn't insane. She knew exactly what she was doing and understood the consequences of her actions. Michelle pled guilty straight away. During her guilty plea, she described the how and why of what she did. Just a warning, the following clip is very graphic in detail and may not be suitable for all listeners.
All right, Ms. Blair, we're here today because you've indicated that you want to plead guilty to 2 of the counts that are identified in the information. Since much of today's proceeding will be a dialogue between me and you, the first thing I'm going to do is swear you in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give today would be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
What is your name, ma'am?
Michelle Blair.
Ms. Blair, how old are you?
36.
Are you a United States citizen?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the information I have before me is that You want to plead guilty to count two, the premeditated murder of Stoney Blair.
Yes.
And count three, the felony murder of Stephen Berry.
Yes.
Okay. Am I correct that you want to plead guilty to those counts?
Yes.
Okay. You understand that if I accept a guilty plea, you'll be subject to a mandatory sentence of life in the Michigan Department of Corrections without the possibility of parole for both cases?
I understand.
Okay. Do you understand Michigan does not have the death penalty?
I do now.
Okay. Ms. Blair, what did you do to Stoney Blair that makes you guilty of premeditated murder?
She raped my son. I intentionally killed her.
How did you do that?
Starting from the beginning, when I found out about what Stoney was doing to Matthew, it was 9 months later after finding out about Stephen. So for the whole 9 months, we were in the house. She was still raping my child. I did not know that. When I first found out, after Maddie told me, I took a minute because I was not understanding, you know, that she did that to him. But I repeatedly punched her on many occasions. My son, I told him to tell me every single thing she did to him. So as she was telling me, he was telling me more and more things that she did. I assaulted her every time he told me what she did to him. By assault, I mean I punched her. I have put a bag over her head till she lost consciousness. I threw hot water on her, scalding hot water from the faucet.
Did you hit her in the head with a wooden stick?
Yes, I hit her head multiple times, over and over.
Was that shortly before she died?
That was actually the day before she died and the day she died.
Okay.
I hit on her back. It's like with her tailbone. I kicked her.
Clarify a few things, and perhaps you don't know, but did this happen on or about May 25th, 2014?
May 25th is actually the day she died, well, the day I killed her.
And you said you killed her by putting a grocery bag over her head?
Yes. That day, Maddie would tell me different things because he was doing this to him for years, and I did not know that. You get what I'm saying? And I didn't find out till 9 months later. She had started with Stephen. She ruined my son, okay? She started with Stephen before he even started. So, yes, I put a bag over her head, but it got worse that day. Yes, I did. It got worse that day because Matthew would tell me how she would take her pad, her menstrual pad, and squeeze her blood out in his mouth, okay? And it was just, it was over with after that. It was over with.
You meant to kill her?
I definitely meant to kill her.
Okay. It wasn't an accident?
No, not at all. Okay. If I had a chance to do it again, I would.
When you went and got the grocery bag and suffocated her, that was your intent?
Yes. She was standing in the bathtub. I was throwing hot water on her. My son was standing to my right outside the bathroom door, and he was telling me everything he was telling me. I looked at her, and I'm like, you did this? And she was like, yes. So I actually had a stick, and I was hitting her in the head. Every time he told me something, I hit her very hard in her head, and I was throwing hot water on her. And when I actually took her out of the bathroom, I took her back in her room, and I just kept staring at her, and I said, excuse my language, but I'm like, why the fuck would you do this to him? Just like, you know, I'm constantly asking her. She kept saying, I hate him. And I'm like, you hate him? You know? And she admitted to me that she hated Gabrielle, she hated Steven, she hated everybody. And I'm asking her why. She says, everybody always think Matthew's so cute. And I'm like, so you fuck your brother, because you get what I'm saying. So it's, I meant to. I definitely meant to. And I do not feel any remorse for what I did to Stoney, because she had no remorse for what she did to my son. And it's not only raped him, she gang raped him with Steven. Matthew, we're all sitting on the floor, and he was telling me this is how I found out about both of them doing it together. But it was too late. Stephen was gone. But Matthew told me that Stoney would actually make him sit there while, in his words, her and Stoney did the nasty stuff, and then they did it to him.
And so this was your way of inflicting punishment?
Definitely.
Okay. Okay. Where did that happen?
What?
Where did it?
The death.
Her actual death?
Yes.
Not
the location of the house. Where did you live at the time?
Oh, 804 St. Albans Street.
Is that in the city of Detroit?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, go ahead.
Can we ask Ms. Blair if she ever actually saw or witnessed any of these acts with regard to Stoney or...
Yes, okay. Yeah. Did you ever actually see anything of any sexual abuse of any kind between either Stephen and Stoney and Matthew?
I reject her question, but I will answer it because no one will say that this did not happen because it actually did.
I just want to have a clear record. Because so far, all you've told me was that you just heard it. Did you ever?
And that they admitted it. No, I did not. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand.
But as I went back in my head and thought back to all the many things that was wrong with Matthew over the years, and I'm like, that's what was wrong with you? He'll use the bathroom and say, Mom, my butt hurts when I poop. I don't know, Matthew. So I started giving him 100% juice to make his stool softer, maybe to help him use. But that wasn't the problem. It wasn't his stool. It was that he was being raped, okay? My son looked me in my eyes, and he gave me a very detailed account of everything they did. Matthew is not a violent boy. He is a very sweet little boy. So for him to stand there and look at me and say, do it again, he was hurting, you know?
Okay.
At a certain point, I told him to stop talking. I said, Stoney, you tell me what the fuck you did to my son. And I said, Matthew, if she say anything that's not right, tell me. She started telling me many things. And I also asked her, so why didn't Stephen tell me that when I asked him, did anybody do this to him? Why didn't he tell me that you did it to him? Because Stoney was going upstairs, beating Stephen's ass, threatening him. Basically, at a certain point, after I was hitting Stephen, I didn't want to look at him. I didn't want to look at him, so I told him to go to his room. When it came time to eat, I didn't want to take no food up, so I sent Stoney up because she volunteered, not knowing at that time that Stoney was raping either of them. But every time she went upstairs, I wouldn't have known if she hit him or not because I had put many bruises on him. So every time she went upstairs, she admitted to me that she was hitting him also, knocking the hell out of him, telling him, you better not tell her nothing.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
I understand. When she admitted these things to you, were you always being physical with her?
The first time, no. We were sitting there.
Okay.
She denied it constantly. I'm like, Stoney, you better tell me the fucking truth. Matthew's sitting here. He don't know nothing about it. He constantly, you get what I'm saying? Who would admit that? Who would admit that if they did not do it?
All right, tell me what happened to Stephen.
Basically the same thing. Can I ask you a question first? The people standing behind me, this woman who just asked the question, is she trying to make it seem like this did not happen?
No. We just have to have a clear record.
Okay.
This is your time to talk. Go ahead.
Have a moment. Well, all we're trying to do is just make sure that the record is clear. Okay. And so don't worry about them behind you. Just do what the judge wants you to do.
Right now, ma'am, this is just you choosing to plead guilty. The people did not have any sort of plea agreement.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like I'm willing to take a polygraph test. It's like, because I understand people don't want to hear me, period, but I'm willing to take it on everything.
I'm listening to you. Tell me what happened to Stephen.
I came home one day. My daughter, Gabrielle, my oldest, met me at the door, and she's like, Mom, come see what Maddie doing with his dials. And I'm like, what is he doing? He was making one dial, his little wrestle man, hump on top of the other. No, I'm like, Maddie, why was you doing that? I said, anybody ever do this to you? He said, no. I said, then why are you doing that? And he said, yes, Stephen did. And I was like, so this is the first I'm hearing about that, period. This was 9 months before Stoney. Mm-hmm. Okay, Stoney wasn't downstairs. And she was always in the background. I wish to God I had questioned everybody together, but I didn't.
Did you say this was around August 30th, 2012?
No, this was before August 30th. August 30th is when he died.
Okay.
Maybe a week and a half.
Before he died?
Yes.
Okay. So that, Matthew telling you that set off some action?
Yes, I went upstairs because Stephen was upstairs in his and Matthew's room. And I went upstairs and I said, Stephen, Matthew said you was humping on him. And then Stephen stood up and he looked at me. And right then I could tell something was wrong in his face because he was just like this. Ain't normal kid. I know my kid would have been like, what? That's not what he did. He stood up and looked at me like he had lost his mind. Okay. And it just hearing that from him had me fucked up in my head, period. But I asked him, I said, Stephen, tell me the fucking truth. Was you humping on Matthew? He said, yes, but that was all. And I said, did you hump on him with your underwear off? He said, no. Matthew yelled out, yes, he did. And I just remember going in the hallway, walking back and forth, like, and I walked back up and I was like, you fucked your brother. You get what I'm saying? You fucked your brother. So I'm looking at them too. I'm looking at them like, what? I can't understand. So I start punching Stephen. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the fuck is you doing to him? I just start asking him questions. Matthew at this point is just spilling out. He's just spilling out. And mom, and he's doing like this, and he do this thing almost every night. He tell me how he was reason I put bags over Stephen's head. Because if we had Maddie, I thought Maddie peed in the bed. My son was never a bed wetter. Didn't know it was Stephen waking up every morning, pissing on Matthew like he was a damn piece of shit, okay? They had bunk beds. Stephen would get out the bed in the middle of the night. You would rape him in his own bed. You would pee on him instead of going to the bathroom. I'm waking up every morning thinking Matthew's a bed wetter. So we just wash him up and go, you a bed wetter.
Let's
so
talk about what you did to Stephen.
The reason I put bags over Stephen's head because my son told me that the plastic on his bed, because I thought he was a bed wetter, he said, sometimes, mom, I couldn't breathe. Stephen was laying on me and he had my face down in the plastic on the bed. I couldn't breathe and he was humping on my butt like a basketball. That's when I got a garbage bag and started putting it over Stephen's head. And I started asking him, bitch, you know what I'm saying? You see what this feel like? You can't breathe? You stop at my, that's my son. You could not breathe on top of getting raped. He was 6 years old at the time. You get what I'm saying? So I put a bag over his head. He lost consciousness. I did that a couple times. He told me that Maddie would be face down. He had stuff around his neck. So I grabbed Stephen. I grabbed a belt and I put a belt around his neck and I lifted him up. Like, do you like how this feels? Being choked with a belt. So I dropped him. I held him up until he lost consciousness as well.
You were intending to...
No, I did not intend to kill Stephen.
No,
but...
no, I'm not. Listen to my question. You were intending to inflict serious physical harm, but not kill him.
Definitely.
Okay. Did you also punch him?
Yes, I did. Multiple times.
Did you also kick him?
Yes, I did.
You talked about choking him. Did you also burn him?
Yes, I did.
Okay, how did you do that?
Hot water. Scalding hot water.
Okay, again... You knew you were seriously harming him, but you didn't intend to murder him.
No.
Okay. But your actions ultimately caused his death.
Yes, they did.
Okay. Were you Stephen's mother?
Yes.
He was in your custody?
I don't claim him as my son now, and I do not claim Stoney as my daughter. I have two children. That's it. Stephen and Stoney are demons, period.
Listen to my question. At the time he died, he was in your custody or care?
Yes.
How old was he?
Stephen was 9.
And again, did this happen at your house in the city of Detroit?
Yes.
What you did to Stephen was punishment for what you did to Maddie, is that right?
For what he did to Maddie,
Yes. For what Stephen did to
Maddie.
Yes. Maddie. That was punishment. All
and right. If I had killed Stephen intentionally, I definitely would be proud to say I did.
You weren't allowing them to treat your other children like this, were you?
What do you mean?
You weren't allowing them to sexually assault.
No, I wasn't allowing that. I never knew.
That's exactly,
you get what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I wanted to know. You didn't know until afterwards.
So, man, I don't regret none of this. I don't regret any of it. Matthew is my son. That's my baby. There's no way that his brother and sister should know what he feels like inside. There's no way.
Understood.
I don't feel no remorse for the death of them demons.
Okay. All right. Going to accept the plea unless either counsel's dissatisfied with the testimony that was just provided by Ms. Blair. I I believe there's a sufficient factual basis to accept the plea at this point.
Her claims that both Stoney and Stephen were sexually assaulting her youngest son were never substantiated. The reason she says she reacted so violently was that she herself was sexually assaulted when she was younger. She reported the assault to her mum, and her mum failed to do anything about it. Her mother's failure to protect her affected her for the rest of her life. It led her to tell her own kids that if anybody ever touched them, to tell her about it straight away, so she could do something. When her youngest son reported to her that he was assaulted by Stoney and Stephen, she reacted. Alexander Dorsey was the father of Stoney Blair and the surviving 17-year-old girl. He hadn't seen either of his children for 2 years prior. He says that Mitchell barred him from the home. He had a prior criminal history and he actually owed $39,000 in child support. It was deemed that he failed to protect the children from an unfit home environment where the children were physically abused, tortured, and murdered. He was not allowed custody of his surviving daughter. Stephen Berry Sr. was the father of Stephen Berry and to the surviving 8-year-old boy. He last saw his children 3 years prior. He also says that Michelle prevented him from seeing them. He owed $10,000 in child support payments. He also had a criminal record, and it was also deemed that he neglected to protect his children from an abusive environment. He was not awarded custody either. Both surviving children lived in absolute terror and will need extensive trauma therapy and counselling. The 8-year-old boy was displaying problems with his neurological development due to the horror he experienced every day. Although Alexander Dorsey was not awarded custody, unlike Stephen Berry Sr., he actually retained his parental right. And the judge did this for good reason. If he removed Dorsey's parental right, then his daughter would only qualify for services until she was 19 years old. But by keeping Dorsey's parental right intact, she qualifies for services until she is 20. By services, they are talking about helping her go to college, classes to teach her to live independently, and obviously therapy. The court ruled it would be in her best interest to qualify for these services for an extra year. She mentioned that she wanted to go to college and become a veterinarian. The judge said it would be totally up to her what sort of relationship, if any, she wanted to have with Dorsey. Michelle Blair's parental rights to her two surviving children were terminated. She was sentenced on the 17th of July, 2015.
This may well happen to you. When you were a child, you had the opportunity to grow up.
True.
You had the opportunity to become an adult. You had the opportunity to make your own decisions with respect to running your own life. And you were blessed with four children. Stoney and Stephen are never going to have that. They don't have those same opportunities. And when I think about all of the possible joys that they could be missing out on, one thing that strikes me as the greatest tragedy here is that they will never know what a life is like without experiencing fearing their mother. They will never know the joy of what could have been in their life without having you in it. They lived in terrible fear of you. And I find that just so sad in this case. After all is said and done, you imposed the death penalty on your own children.
I did.
And you readily admit it, and you want to take responsibility of it. You're therefore sentenced to the Michigan Department of Corrections for the rest of your life without the possibility of parole, meaning, of course, that you will never get out.